Authority, March 14, 1993. Dear people whom God loves, authority is a problem in almost every institution. Our church is no exception. Some of us see authority as someone in charge making the rules and the rest obeying. Some of us see authority as what is agreed upon by an institution or organization. Some of us see authority as solid and unyielding, while others of us see it as adapting to changing situations. Some of us want to give our whole selves an authority. Others of us want no infringement on our freedom. There are also varying positions in between. Where we are in this broad spectrum is, in my judgment, determined largely by our inner personality, by the psychological needs that we have. It has little to do with moral goodness or badness. This tension regarding authority is inevitable. It will not go away. Our task is to find creative ways to live within the tension. This tension is reflected in the Gospel of Matthew. In chapter 16, Jesus gives the authority of binding and loosing to Peter. In Catholic tradition, this is understood to mean that one person has a unique and central position within the Church. The one elected to be the Bishop of Rome, the Pope, has come to be recognized as the one to fill that position. In chapter 18 of Matthew, Jesus gives authority, the power of binding and loosing, to the whole Church. Recently, this passage is beginning to draw attention. As democratic principles become our customary way of doing things, the effect is being felt in the way our church exercises authority. Centuries ago, when authority was exercised by kings and emperors, chapter 16 was emphasized, and chapter 18 was largely forgotten. I believe that both chapters need equal attention. This introduces the tension. It can lead to creative solutions if we keep our minds open, our hearts compassionate, and our spirit responsive to the Spirit of God. Smile, God loves you. Father Clay. The Road to God, March 28, 1993. Dear people whom God loves, sometimes we wish we had certain knowledge of the road to God. Then we could be in control. I believe that control keeps us from God. As long as we are in control, we don't surrender to God. Without surrender, we avoid God. All we can do is to be willing to have our minds and hearts open and allow God to lead us. Thomas Merton said that the path to God is like a field of fresh snow. After we have walked through it, we can look back and see the path. We can't see it until after we have walked it. Smile, God loves you. Father Clay. God will not abandon us. April 11, 1993. Dear people whom God loves, the resurrection of Jesus teaches us a truth that is often difficult to believe. Our God loves us and is with us in the most trying and tragic times. God will help us find a way through and out of anything. The trial may not be taken away, but a way through it will be offered. My experience is that God's response to my suffering is often not the one I wanted, but in looking back, I see it is the response that produced the most good. Even Jesus had difficulty holding on to this truth. This is evidenced by his cry from the cross, my God, why have you abandoned me?" I suspect that God's answer was a surprise to Jesus. We will never be abandoned by God, even if we abandon him. Happy Easter. Smile, God loves you. Father Clay. Real Listening, April 18, 1993. Dear people whom God loves, I believe that we almost never listen to anybody. We may talk back and forth with them, but we seldom hear what is in their hearts. I believe that if we truly heard, understood, and felt what is going on in other people, many of our relationships would improve dramatically. If we listened with empathy to our own innermost hurts and fears, we would love ourselves far more. I suggest that the greatest gift parents can give to their children is the time and attention it takes to understand and value what their children are feeling. That's good advice for a priest, too. There is someone who always listens with attention, patience, and love. Let us open our hearts to our God. She is never too busy. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Abandoning Our Agendas, May 23, 1993. Dear people whom God loves, when the reign of God enters our hearts, we lose our personal agendas. We have our personal agendas because we want the world and people to be the way we want them to be. We want people to be the way we want them to be because we don't love ourselves. We don't love ourselves because we don't think that it is okay to be who we are. We don't think that it is okay to be who we are because we learned that God doesn't love us as we are. We learned that we must become good for God to love us. To my way of thinking, that is the most damaging spiritual message there is. When we love ourselves, we have no need to have people to be a certain way. We are grateful when we can be an instrument of God working in others to help them become what God wants, that they be who they are and not what we want them to be. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Letting Go of Pain, May 30, 1993. Dear people whom God loves, jealousies cause us pain. Anxieties cause us pain. Resentments cause us pain. Guilts cause us pain. In spite of the pain, so often we cling to those things. We cause our own pain by clinging to them. They seem like old friends, and in a way we feel comfortable with them, even though they hurt. The grace of letting go is a wonderful gift. We can't really make it happen. We can be willing to acknowledge these feelings in the presence of our God who is loving us, and willing for God to take them away. If we do this faithfully, our insides will change, and one day we will realize that our clinging is lessening, and we will come to an awareness that the pain is gone. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Loving Our Enemies, June 6, 1993. Dear people whom God loves, many wars have been fought over religious ideas and beliefs. When we believe that we are doing something good or for God, we are inclined to think that anything goes. Our cause is so righteous in our minds that we cease to think of the people on the other side as human. They are the enemy. When we name people as enemies, they become objects and not human persons. When we make them objects, we can do anything to them we want as long as it is seen as advancing our cause. Perhaps this is why Jesus told us, "Love your enemies." Loving them means that they are human, that they are people, that they are daughters and sons of God, that they are our sisters and brothers. They are like us. We are to love them as we love ourselves. It is not only war that brings out this dark side of us. Many other religious and moral issues do as well. Disputes about abortion and homosexuality bring out this darkness in an especially destructive manner. When we do not love those we oppose, we may be sure that we are not seeking, though we may think that we are, the reign of God. Rather, we are fostering something very ugly inside of us. The apparent righteousness of our cause enables us to do this and even feel holy in doing it. This temptation exists in me and I suspect in every one of us. I know that I will never grow out of it totally. I pray that I may see it more honestly and allow the grace of God to let go of the wounded, unhealthy need that urges me to hurt people in God's name. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. God loves me for who I am. June 27, 1993. Dear people whom God loves, our worth is not determined by other people's judgments or actions. This is a lesson that is still difficult for me to learn. Other people's criticism does not make me less. Their praise does not make me more. We are who we are. That is good enough for God. Our task is to learn that it is good enough for us. Once I learn that who I am, regardless of what my gifts and talents are, is what God loves, I will not be knocked over by criticism or puffed up by praise. I hope I learn this sometime before I die. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Seeing the Truth, July 4th, 1993. Dear people whom God loves, believing in God is a new way of looking at things. Here are some examples. I see someone I don't like, and I see through that to a person who is lovable and wounded just as I am. I see myself wounded and abused as a child, and I see through that to my center, full of love and power, waiting to come out. I see our church with many flaws and sins, and I see through that to a church that is made up of flawed and sinful people, just like me. I see a difficult child, and I see through that to a bundle of energy, needing my respect and nurturing. Make a list such as this for yourself. It can help us to discover God. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Negative messages. July 18, 1993. Dear people whom God loves, it is important that we recognize and feel the hurts, angers, and rejections that are present within us. If we are feeling these emotions and do not acknowledge that they are there, we push them back down inside of us, where they fester and turn poisonous. At some point, we need to let them go. It is good to recognize that we play a part in keeping these feelings alive by continually rehashing them. I think we do that because we start to tell ourselves the same negative messages that were told to us in a hurting way. We don't need someone else to hurt us by these messages, because we are now doing it to ourselves. If I stop saying these hurtful things to myself, and we are often unaware that we are doing this, the resentment will fade. This is simple to say and hard to do, but it is well worth the effort. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. The Scriptures. July 25, 1993. Dear people whom God loves, the Scriptures are the Word of God. God is love. The Scriptures are God's love for us, expressed in human words. Since the Scriptures are expressions of God's love, we must listen to them with our hearts. Our minds can't do it alone. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. God's Unknowable Love. August 8, 1993. Dear people whom God loves, we need to stop putting God in a box and claiming to know what God is like. God is always a surprise. That is why we can't pin her down. Love is a good word to describe God, but we don't know exactly what it means. That is why the traditional way of speaking about God requires three steps. First, the love that is God is like human love. Second, the love that is God is unlike human love. Third, the love that is God is infinitely greater than human love. We at times understandably say, if God loves us, we wouldn't suffer. We say that because we think we know what divine love is. The reality is that we don't know. It is like our human love, but it is unlike it as well. In faith, we trust that God's love is more than we can imagine. It is not easy, but we need to hang on to that trust. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Reality versus our minds. August 15, 1993. Dear people whom God loves, almost all of us, myself included, cling stubbornly to our opinions. We think that what is in our minds is what reality is like. Since I think that what is in my mind is what is real, I think that you are wrong when you disagree with me. This seems to me to be especially true when it comes to religious matters. What is in my mind may resemble reality more or less, but what is in my mind is not reality. It is the way I have put reality together in my mind. Reality stimulates me to think, but what is in my mind is what I have put together. We need to put things together in our mind to live humanly. Being able to do this is a gift from God. Our mistake is making it more than it is. As we become aware of this, we become more humble intellectually and more open to new ideas. In fact, we welcome new insights because we realize that what we have in our minds is so far removed from what is real. We know that we don't know. Smile. God loves you, Father Clay. How We Hear, August 29, 1993. Dear people whom God loves, what is meant by the speaker or writer is often not what is understood by the listener or reader. It is a good idea to check it out. What we hear is in large part determined by what we have previously experienced and is already in our minds. For example, a certain tone of voice or expression may bring back to us what we experienced with our parents. Instead of hearing what is being said now, we hear what we heard as children. In the same way, we hear the scriptures according to what is already in our minds. This means we may badly understand the scriptures and use them only to confirm our already entrenched opinions. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Living Boldly, September 12, 1993. Dear people whom God loves, mistakes are a part of human living. Our choice is to learn from our mistakes or not to learn. Making good decisions comes from experience. Experience comes from making bad decisions. I suggest that we are called by God not to live life in fear of being wrong or being misunderstood, but with energy and some boldness. If I am always passive and nice, I will probably not bother too many people, but I also will not foster growth in people. We are called to name what we see, and when we blow it, to be big enough to admit it and learn from it. Creativity always brings some mess, but it also makes life worth living. The Pharisees lived carefully by the book, but they also couldn't hear Jesus' message of the kingdom of God. Though we may be terrified of making mistakes, making no mistakes is the biggest mistake of all, attempting nothing new. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. First things first. October 10, 1993. Dear people whom God loves, when good things that are secondary are placed first, they lose their power to lead us to the good things that are truly first. This then divides us into two camps. Some of us continue to place secondary goods first. Others of us reject them. Conservatives tend to do the first, liberals the second. Neither position leads to growth and holiness. That is why it is important to keep the secondary goods, but also to keep them secondary. Church and religion are secondary goods. They are meant to help us be aware of the presence and movement of our compassionate God in our lives and in our world. This awareness opens us to become compassionate people as God's power works in us. When church and religion are placed first, we make them gods, and then they lead us to themselves and not to God. That is how church and religion become destructive. When church and religion makes us feel righteous or are used to beat people down, we become destructive of other people and ourselves. As we participate in church and religion, we must continually ask ourselves if this participation is nurturing compassion in us. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Rushing. October 24, 1993. Dear people whom God loves, we need to be on time when we are interacting with other people. Coordination would not work well without times being set. The problem that I see for many of us is that we are rushing most of the time. Rushing keeps us from being aware of what is going on inside of us. This means that it hinders spiritual growth. Rushing keeps us from an interior attitude of living from deep inside ourselves. Rushing and prayer cannot coexist. There is an old saying, "Haste is the death of devotion." When we don't live out of our deep center, the good work we do is greatly lessened. We make more mistakes, and we respond to people in inappropriate ways. Our inner wisdom doesn't get a chance to influence the way we live. To live full lives, we cannot be busy all the time. We must take time to smell the roses. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. All the Letting Goes, October 31, 1993. Dear people whom God loves, letting go is an essential element of human living and growth. Letting go is painful, but it is necessary for us to reach the fullness of life that God offers to us. When we grow, we let go of one thing to make room for another. Our human temptation is to hold on to what is familiar. That is understandable, but deadly. When we marry, we let go of being single. When we start to love, we let go of the apparent security of not allowing ourselves to be hurt. When we allow a generous spirit to enter into us, we let go of our attachment to money and material things. When we find meaning and purpose in sickness, we let go of our need for health to make us think that we are okay. There are hundreds and thousands of letting goes in life, some little, some big. These are all preparations for the final letting go, death. When we die, there is nothing to hold on to except surrender to God. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Married Life and Celibate Life, January 23, 1994. Dear people whom God loves, something Archbishop Weakland of Milwaukee said, a personal statement that seems to come from his heart, got me to thinking. Married life and celibate life are both authentic ways for a Christian to live. One is not better than the other. They are different paths. Each has its consolations and its hardships. Some have the gifts for married life, some for celibate life. If we follow a path for which we do not have the gifts, our road will be unnecessarily rocky. We will probably not attain the spiritual growth God has in mind for us. This is detrimental to us and those around us. If the priesthood were open to both married and celibate people, the number and quality of priests would increase. The priesthood would be enriched by the mix, and our church would be better served. Two fringe benefits of this would be: 1. Our teaching that married and celibate are equally good would be affirmed instead of sounding hollow. 2. An individual person who has the gifts for priesthood and for married life would not be placed in the position of having to reject one of the gifts. This is food for thought and prayer. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. The Path of Freedom, January 30th, 1994. Dear people whom God loves, it is very difficult to handle the gift of freedom God has given us. Freedom requires trust, creativity, and taking responsibility. We would much rather have the security of following someone or some institution that claims to have the truth. We then don't have to think or take responsibility for our lives. We just obediently do what we are told. This gives us security, but in the process, we lose our inner selves, our souls. It is the need for certain answers that draws us to political and religious leaders who claim to have the answers. It also keeps us from growing spiritually and becoming people of compassion. I encourage us to take the path of freedom and compassion and put our full trust only in God. Please don't do this because I say so. This will put you right back into the trap of security. We must look inside ourselves under the loving care of our God. We must become honest and real. We are called to be free people in the midst of our mistakes and sins. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Compassion, February 27, 1994. Dear people whom God loves, compassion is central to spirituality. If we are without compassion, all of our religious practices are an empty shell. This does not mean that we are bad people, but that we have taken a wrong turn. We have religion with no soul. Compassion is difficult for us, but possible. With God's grace, we can put ourselves into the shoes of other people and see things through their eyes. If we truly see things through the eyes of another, compassion will grow. We are all prejudiced. Our prejudices run deep and are hardened like concrete. Fortunately, the grace of God is clever. If we open ourselves just a crack, God will slip in and our prejudices will start to fall away and we will become free. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Image of the Black Madonna, March 20, 1994. Dear people whom God loves. 3 weeks ago in the sermon, I used the image of the Black Madonna to symbolize the whole person with soul, spirit, and body, fully developed and balanced. Two people thought that some African-American people might be offended by that. I understand how it might be understood in a way that would be offensive. I think, however, that it is a very positive symbol. We are using the symbols of light and darkness, masculine and feminine, to represent the wholeness that comes from this integration. Using these symbols, a white Madonna would be incomplete, remote, and half-human. This would symbolize how destructive we become when we are not grounded in soul and body. The Black Madonna, according to Marianne Woodman, is a symbol that is coming more and more to human consciousness. The Black Madonna is an image that can draw us to wholeness. The Black Madonna symbolizes the fully human person who is grounded in the pain and suffering of the world, who acknowledges the darkness within, who seeks truth and pursues goodness, and who is anchored in the earthiness of body. It is a good image for me. Smile. God loves you. Father Clay. Allowing ourselves to be transformed. May 1, 1994. Dear people whom God loves. A chart in the Human Tendencies profile from the book Discovering the Spirit by Joseph J. McMahon summarizes the characteristics of the three types of human thought: the irrational, the rational, and the suprarational. This is what it means to me. The irrational is destructive. The rational is an obvious improvement, but keeps us caught in the ordinary conventional way of thinking. The suprarational is the result of breaking out of the ordinary conventional way of thinking. We still retain some of the value of the rational, but we leave much of it behind. This, I believe, is what Jesus was talking about when he spoke of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not to be identified with the suprarational, but it is a whole new way of thinking. The scribes and Pharisees were caught in the conventional thinking of their culture and religion. Jesus' preaching of a new vision was undermining their way of life and control. That is why Jesus was considered so dangerous and was killed. It is good to move from confusion to order, but we are called to move on to vision. Some disorder and messiness are necessary for vision. It is also good to move from dependence to control, but we must move beyond. When we control too much, we become trapped. We must let go of our controlling to become free. Some system must replace rebellion, or we will have chaos. However, system easily becomes locked into one way of doing things. We are called to move beyond system, to change and to grow. If we are totally skeptical, we have no anchor at home base. We need some certainty, but certainty makes us think we have the truth and the answers. This keeps us stuck. If we are going to be creative people, we must be open to new ideas and ways. To be creative, we must question. To put it another way, to move from the irrational to the rational is the building of our ego. This is the task of the early part of our life. The building of our ego gives us a sense of self and value. Order, control, system, and certainty are ego-building processes. Without them, our life is chaos.